In your Bibles, we're going to turn to the Word of the Lord tonight. Amen. I feel this in my spirit. This church has been really digging into discipleship over the last several months. I've been teaching on it as much as I can, here and there, trying to fill in some areas and trying to give this church some direction that I feel that the Lord wants it to go in. How many want this church to grow? I want this church to grow. I want to see your families, your friends. I want to see their lives turned around. I want to see them come to the Lord. That is never going to happen if we don't get the principle of discipleship. Amen. So we've been digging and drilling into this subject over the last several months. I want to talk a little bit about it more tonight. In the book of 1 Peter, my text to some maybe seem a little odd for this topic, but it's just something that I felt. So we just got to go with it tonight. Praise the Lord. I felt this in my spirit. Amen. So turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, the second chapter and the ninth. We're going to read the ninth and the tenth verse. If you can give me just a little bit of monitor up here. I feel like I'm hearing what you're hearing out there. 1 Peter, the second chapter, we're going to be reading verse 9 and 10. If you got your Bibles, turn there with me. If you do not have your Bible, the scriptures are provided for you up on the screen behind me. Amen. When you get there, shout out amen. Amen. We got five people there. I'll wait just a few more moments. Praise the Lord. When you get there, shout out amen. Amen. All right. 1 Peter, the second chapter, the ninth verse. The word of the Lord says, but ye are a chosen generation. Yes. A royal priesthood and holy nation. A peculiar people. This next section of this verse is the one I want to concentrate a little bit on tonight. It says that ye should show forth the praises. Put on display the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. My God, we're to show forth the praises of God, how that he brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light tonight. Amen. Which in time past were not a people. Amen. How many know the Gentiles were classified as dogs? They weren't even considered a people. But praise God, once they were born again of the water and of the Spirit, they were a people, and not only a people, but the people of God. Amen. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord tonight. Amen. For the word of the Lord. Come on, clap those holy hands unto the Lord tonight. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. To be a good disciple of Christ, you need to be able to present this light as nothing short of marvelous. A life lived in Christ Jesus, the light of the world, is nothing short of marvelous. I want to teach for the next few moments on this topic, the significance of a good tour guide. The significance of a good tour guide. Amen. We're going to talk a little bit about discipleship tonight and how the Lord wants to use you in this body. Amen. Disciples are essentially spiritual tour guides. All right? Everybody in here was meant to lead somebody. I learned a long time ago in my walk with God that every man or woman is my superior in some way, shape, or form. There's something that you are better at than I am. And in that, I learn of you. And when we really get that concept down in our spirits, we realize that we are simply spiritual tour guides. We are here to inform people, but we're here to lead people. We're here to show people the way. Amen. We're here to show people the way and to lead them in the way. Listen, we have been several places in our life where we have experienced a tour guide. And we've had some good tour guides that made our trip enjoyable. And we've had some bad tour guides that made it not so pleasant. Anybody ever had a bad tour guide? Somebody who was just having a bad day, a bad attitude. The one that we had last year in Cozumel was so informative, and he was so exuberant. He was exciting. He had a good attitude. In fact, when we left that island, Brother Ken said, man, if we come back here next year, we need to request him. Because he made our experience enjoyable. I come to tell some saints of God tonight, the last thing you want to become is a horrible tour guide. The last thing you want to do is discourage somebody from walking with God. The last thing you want to do is discourage somebody from turning their life over to his hands because you had a bad attitude or you had a bad day or you had a negative outlook on something. Huh? Come on, somebody. We are essentially spiritual tour guides. Jason, you've had tour guides in your life and on your trips. And we can, your trip, your experience can be made or broke by how your tour guide acts. I wish I had a penny for every person that ever walked into a church that had a bad experience with some snobby-nosed Pentecostal who thought they had it all together and they rubbed somebody wrong and they left the church and never came back to the house of God. Come on, let me tell you something. God's going to hold people accountable for that. God's going to hold people accountable for that. Amen. And your tour guide, he can make your experience or he can break your experience. Now, I'm not saying, don't take me out of context, that it's justified to leave the house of God because somebody did something to you that you didn't like. If that happens, chances are you need to come off of the milk and onto the meat. Chances are you need to get out of the diapers and put on some big boy drawers. All right? But what I am saying is we as the people of God don't need to give people an offense to be offended by, and we don't need to turn people away from the kingdom of God. Amen. We need to make people's experience in the kingdom of God enjoyable. We need to present this as something marvelous, something exuberant, something exciting. Listen, nobody wants to listen to a woe is me child of God all the time that everything is wrong, everybody's done them wrong. Listen, they want to be a part of a kingdom that has some people that's excited to be in that kingdom. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, when we got on that boat and went across that water to Cozumel last year, we was excited, and our tour guide, he matched our excitement. So when we come into the house of the Lord, we need to be excited to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. We don't want to be a bad tour guide. Amen. So I think sometimes we don't really understand the significance, and we don't really understand the impact that we have on each other's walk with God. The Bible tells us that we are our brother's keeper. We're our brother's keeper. All right? Now, our brother needs to learn to stand on their own feet, but our brothers sometimes need to lean up on us. And if every time they lean up on us, we want to say something bad about somebody in the church, come on, you're a horrible tour guide. Because you're showing them something in the kingdom of God that is not going to influence them to join the kingdom of God. All right, so I think sometimes we don't really understand the significance and the impact that we have upon each other's walk with God, especially to those that look to us. The Bible is filled with examples of rabbis or teachers and disciples. We read some of these stories. We see that Paul had Timothy, and Paul had Barnabas, and Elijah had Elisha, and Moses had Joshua. And we see all of these examples of rabbi and disciple relationships to where somebody was looking for a good example out of somebody. Can I tell you, you're not under the sound of my voice today without somebody looking to you. You're not crossing the threshold of the house of God without somebody watching what you're doing. All right? So either you're going to be a good example of the kingdom of God and you're going to disciple people in the right direction, or you're going to be a bad example of the kingdom of God and you're going to lead somebody in the wrong direction. All right? We are essentially spiritual tour guides tonight, and we don't understand sometimes the relationships that God puts us in. Nevertheless, God will hold us accountable for those relationships. All right? God will hold us accountable for those relationships. When you go on a trip to a strange place you've never been before, your tour guide is appointed unto you to help you, to give you direction. When you listen, your tour guide is to be informative. Huh? How many ever had somebody ask you a question about the Bible and you're like, well, I don't know. I've had that happen to me more times than I care to recall. But you know what? It did something to me, and it caused me to want to know the answer the next time that somebody asked me the same question. Let me tell you something. As spiritual tour guides, we are to be informative to the people that are coming out of the world and into the church. We got to be able to tell them why we live the way we live, why we do what we do, why we come to church on Tuesday night, why we come to church on Sunday morning, why do we walk with God? We need to be informative to the world that is coming into the church. We need to be knowledgeable. We need to be energetic. We need to be positive. We don't need to be negative. Come on, listen. Negativity will destroy a church. Negativity will destroy a family. Negativity will destroy a marriage. Negativity will destroy a relationship between a mother and her children, or a father and his children. We need to be positive, and we need to lead people in the right direction. Now, I'm not saying justify people in their wrongs. There comes a point in time, if you have a teacher-disciple relationship with someone, once you have gained their respect and you have rapport, you are to lead them if they are going in the wrong direction. It's your job to tell them. All right? So don't misunderstand that I'm saying this is a prosperity or only good news gospel, all right? The Bible is the good news, but there are times that we have to hear from God what we do not want to hear, all right? There are times when we have to hear that, but we need to be informative. We need to be knowledgeable. We need to be energetic and positive, and we need to be able to describe and to analyze away people's doubts. Huh? Because when people come into the church, they have doubts. They have things they don't understand. They have questions. I wish I had money for every time somebody walked into the house of God that they saw something and they didn't understand it. And they're like, well, I don't know about that. And they left and they never come back. Right? We need to be able to have an answer. The Bible says to have an answer when somebody comes asking you for that answer. All right, so we need to be informative. We need to be knowledgeable about the Word of God, and we got to study to show ourselves approved. Huh? That's why there are multiple Bible studies going on in the homes of the people in this church, because our mission, a part of our mission statement at this church is we want to empower this community. We're not looking to fill seats with people that's going to bust hell wide open. We're looking to fill heaven with people that are empowered by the Holy Ghost and by the Word of God. That's what we're looking to do today. Our goal is not to fill this church. Our goal is to fill heaven. Amen. Our goal is to fill heaven. And let me tell you something. If you learn to disciple people and to teach people, you'll create disciples out of people, and they in turn will create disciples out of people, and we will experience true multiplication. All right? Listen, I can only win so many people by myself. Bro, Jacob can only win so many people by himself. But listen, if I can win 5 people that'll win 20 people, we just experienced multiplication. Right? So we got to be informative. We got to be excited about the kingdom of God. We got to be positive about the kingdom of God. And the church cannot be full of naysayers. We got to be disciple makers. All right? We got to be essentially spiritual tour guides, okay? God has placed people in your lives to inform them, to teach them, to encourage them, to lead them and guide them in the kingdom of God. Amen. In the kingdom of God, that's what we're here for. Listen, everybody looks wonderful, man. You got your good duds on, you know. You look wonderful, but we're here for the kingdom of God. We're here that we can develop and we can grow. We can teach people. We can develop people. We can help get people to heaven. That's why we're here. That's the importance of midweek service. All right? That's why we don't get all caught up in Sunday hype only. That's why we need the teaching of God's word. Get down deep in our soul. Break up that hallowed ground and let the word of God sink deep in our soul. The Lord will come along and he'll water and it'll blossom into something beautiful. But listen, when all you got is Sunday hype, you don't have no depth in God. You don't have no depth in God. Okay, and God has placed people in our lives so that we can plant them deeply and help them and encourage them and lead them in the word of God. We need to be a good tour guide for the kingdom of God, and God is going to judge us as such. We all, everybody in this room, will be judged. Listen, we think we're going to be judged by our good deeds or our good works or whether we came to church all the time. Listen, those things are important, okay? But I believe God is going to judge us based on our productivity. What did you do with what he gave you? When you read the parable of the talents, you see that he gave 1 5, and he gave 1 2, and he gave 1 1, and he asked him, what did you do with what I gave you? All right, and the one said, well, Lord, I hid it in the ground because I was afraid if I tried to use it, I would lose it, and you would be disappointed in me. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Come on. Listen, the Lord wants us to use what he gives us, and he wants us to be productive in the kingdom of God. The Lord is going to hold us accountable for what did we do with what he gave us. All right. What did he do? He doesn't give you knowledge, wisdom of the word of God for you to just sit on it on your own. He gives it to you to share with other people, to teach people, to lead people, to guide people, to give them direction in the kingdom of God. Okay. We need to learn. We cannot present living for God as a burden to a lost and dying world. Guess what that's going to do? You're going to turn them away from the church. If you present living for God as a burden to somebody who's lost and looking for a better way, guess what? They don't want no part of what you got. But if you present living for God as the greatest joy of your life, if you present living for God as something irreplaceable in your life, if you present living for God as the greatest thing you've ever experienced in a new way, in a new direction, they're going to be excited about it just like you're excited about it. All right? So we got to be good tour guides for the kingdom of God. Okay? I'm going to tell you, God's going to hold you accountable for misinformation. God's going to hold you accountable for negative attitudes. God's going to hold you accountable for unfaithfulness. God's going to hold you accountable for speaking negatively about your brothers and your sisters in Christ. God's going to hold you accountable for kicking somebody when they're down. God's going to hold you accountable for not praying for the lost and praying that God would save the souls of people. God is going to hold us accountable for everything that we do. Amen. God help me if my life ever becomes a discouragement and ever discourages anybody from living for the Lord. I want to be thankful. I want to be blessed. I want to be excited about the kingdom of God. I want to be exuberant. I want to be excited. I want to be ecstatic that he brought me out of darkness and into his marvelous light, showing forth the praises of God, that he brought me out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Amen. We cannot present the kingdom as anything less than marvelous. Listen, I'm not saying be pretentious. There is a huge difference, all right? Not being pretentious, but being excited about what God is doing for you in your life. There are people in this church, man, the Lord is working in your life and in your family and in your marriage. Let me tell you something. You got something to be excited about. You got something to be excited about. And let me tell you something, that Christianity, that godliness, that excitement for the kingdom of God, it's contagious. And when you go home with that and you go around people with that, they're going to be like, man, there's something different about them. I've had people for the last 2 months tell me, man, that person in that church, they're different than they used to be. You know why? Because it's contagious. The exuberance about living for God, being excited about living for God, the changes that God is making in our life. Amen. We got to be a good tour guide for the kingdom of God. That's what we're doing. We're leading people, informing people about the kingdom of God. Okay? Listen, he brought us out of darkness, church, into his marvelous light. Heaven is something worth being excited about. Come on, eternity with him is something worth escaping hellfire, escaping damnation, escaping a weeping and gnashing of teeth and a fire that's never quenched. That's something to be excited about tonight. Come on, I want to shun that awful place called hell. I want heaven's gates to open wide, and I want the Lord to say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. Amen. We need to be excited about the kingdom of God. He brought us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Moses invested in Joshua. Whether you realize it or not tonight, God has called you to invest in people. Let me tell you what's sad. What's sad is when we're more worried about investing in 401ks than we are about God's people. When we check on our portfolio more than we check on the brother and sister in Christ that wasn't in church on Sunday, we got a problem. We got a problem. God has called us to invest in his people. That's what he's called us to do. We are to invest into the kingdom of God. All right? He showed the Lord had Moses invest in Joshua. That's why when Moses was dying at the River Jordan, Joshua was there to pick up that mantle and say, I'll lead God's people into the promised land. Why? Because some man had invested in him. Some spiritual tour guide had said, come on over here and sit down beside me. I want to explain to you the oneness of God. He had some spiritual tour guide that said, come on here over here and sit down beside me. I want to explain to you how he is the great I am. Somebody had invested in Joshua. Moses had invested in Joshua, and that's why he was there to pick up the mantle. He showed Joshua what it was like to choose God. Come on. Listen, people need to see you choose God. Come on. Not be burdened down by God. They want to see you choose God. They want to see you choose to serve God. That's what they want to see. Moses chose to suffer the afflictions with God's people. He esteemed it greater than all of the riches in Egypt. He could have had everything he wanted, but he said, I'd rather be a child of God. I'd rather be a child of God, and I'd rather invest in the people of God. And that's exactly what he did. And that's why Joshua was there when Moses died, to pick up the pieces and to say, I'll take God's people into the promised land. Come on. God has called us to invest in his people. God has called us to inform his people, to lead his people, to give his people guidance. Okay? He showed Joshua what it was like to choose God and choose the kingdom of God over this world that we live in. We must show people how to choose God rather than the world that they live in. Huh? God's not looking for people that he has to force to praise him. He's looking for people that choose to praise him, choose to worship him, choose to be faithful to him. Okay? Moses invested in Joshua. Elijah invested in Elisha. He invested in Elisha. He performed miracles in front of Elisha. He showed him that living for God was the best life he could ever live. There's nothing like living for God. I tell every young disciple in this church, I bet David's probably getting sick of hearing me saying it. I bet I tell him once a week, there's no life like living for Christ. There's nothing like living for the Lord. There's nothing that will ever compare. You could be a millionaire. You could become the president. You could own your own company. You could have a model for a wife. It ain't going to replace the presence of Almighty God in your life. Can I get a witness tonight? There's nothing like living for the Lord tonight. Nothing like living for the Lord tonight. Praise God. It's the best life you can live is living for God. Amen. And Elijah taught Elisha that. He showed him. He performed miracles in front of him. He showed him the mighty works of God. How great God is. We got to show people how great God is. Come on, I want to speak into the lives of some young people who've been gathering for a couple of months in the front yard of some poor boy who was diagnosed with cancer. Don't be discouraged because you didn't get the end result that you wanted. Be thankful that God gave you the opportunity because his soul is more important than his flesh was. Don't think he didn't look out that window and see you out there interceding on his behalf. God knew what he was doing. God knew what he was doing. Praise God. And all we can do is pray that that boy made it to heaven because he saw a group of young people coming out there in his front yard once a week and interceding and asking God to touch his life. Man, I'm telling you, listen, don't get caught up in the end result. Don't. Listen, we don't get to decide the end, Greg. All right? All we got to do is do what God tells us to do. Huh? Listen, when you had the Good Samaritan and the Jew, and the Jew had been robbed and beaten, and he was nigh unto death. The Bible says that a Samaritan came along, and listen, the Samaritans they despised the Jews. Let me tell you something. You think we got racial tensions in this country? You think we got problems between groups of people in this country? You ain't seen nothing until you lived in those days and saw the Samaritans and the Jews. There was a serious problem, and it was a religious difference. And religious differences will cause people to hate one another. It's a tragedy. It's a terrible thing. And these people were so divided. But yet this good Samaritan's walking down the road one day, and here's this Jewish man, and he's been beaten within inches of his life. And the Bible says that he picks him up and he binds up his wounds. And he takes him over to the inn, and he tells the keeper of the inn, he said, here's a little money. I want you to take care of him. And if it goes beyond this amount of money that I've given you, when I come back this way, I'm going to stop in and I'm going to see you. And if it exceeds that, I'll give you the rest of the money. You know what? The Bible never gives us the end of that. The Bible never teaches us that the Samaritan came back and became friends with the Jew. The Bible never comes back that he says he come back and the Jew got mad and punched him in the face. The Bible doesn't give us any kind of indication whatsoever. You know why? Because it doesn't matter. What matters is the Samaritan did what God had told him to do. And if we just do what God tells us to do, he will bless us. We got to invest in God's people. You were investing in that young man. You are investing in that family. That family will forever be changed because a group of apostolic people stood in that front yard and interceded on his behalf. They will never forget that. So don't be discouraged because we don't always get the end result that we want. It's for God to know. It's for God to know. Moses invested in Joshua. Elijah invested in Elisha. He showed him that living for God was the best life he could live. Church, we got to duplicate this vision in people. Listen, we got to reproduce this vision in people. Chris, your children need to have the vision that you have. Come on, Carl, your children need to have the vision that you have. They need to have a vision to make heaven their home and to change the world that we live in. We got to reproduce. We got to duplicate this vision tonight. We got to show them how great living in the kingdom is. Come on, there's no life like living for Jesus, church. There's no life like living for Jesus. I heard a story about a guest who came to a Pentecostal church one time. It was their very first experience at a Pentecostal church. You know, and they got a good dose, kind of like what Lissy did with Sister Joyce tonight when she's sitting there shouting right next to her. This young boy walks into a Pentecostal church, and for the first time, he sat next to his disciple maker who had invited him to church. He was curious, and he wanted an answer for every behavior that he noticed that he didn't understand. When someone spoke in tongues, he asked about it. What is that? Why are they doing that? When someone started jumping up and down like Brother Mike, he said, what is that? Why is he doing that? When someone took off running around the church like Brother Doug did a few weeks ago, he said, what is that? Why is he doing that? Listen, the disciple maker answered every single question to the best of his ability. And all of a sudden, the preacher gets up. He reaches up and he takes his watch. He takes it off of his wrist. And he lays it up on the podium. And the young man who's in a Pentecostal church for the very first time says, what is that? Why is he doing that? His disciple maker said, you don't want to know why he's doing that. You'll get that when you get home. There are some things that are not for us to know, church. We just got to do what God has called us to do. All right? We just got to do what God has called us to do. Many visitors have come into apostolic Pentecostal churches. They never return because they had unanswered questions. We need some people in this church that are willing to be spiritual tour guides for the kingdom of God. We need people in this church that's willing to take some people under their wing and sit down with them and say, this is what the Bible says, and this is why the Bible says it. We got to be good spiritual tour guides. They need a tour guide in their life. They need someone to accurately explain away all of their doubts. We need to be able to explain what people are experiencing in the house of God. When Philip walked up to that Ethiopian eunuch, that day, as he was sitting in that chariot, he realized he was reading from the book of Isaiah. And he walks up to him and he says, friend, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch looks at him with all sincerity and he says, how can I understand what I'm reading except some man explain it to me? There's some eunuchs in your life. There's some people in your life that are hungry for something different. There's some people in your life that are looking for a better way. Come on, and the Lord wants to use you just like he used Philip. Philip didn't bat an eye. He jumped up in that chariot and he started preaching to him Jesus. And he started explaining to him the prophecies about Jesus. Listen to me today, church. Listen to me, Pentecostal Patty. Listen to me, Apostolic Andy. We don't need suppressed worship. Come on, somebody. We don't need dumbed down services. We need people that want a move of God in the house of God. That's what we need today. We don't need to be worried about what people are thinking about. We need a move of God today. We need a move of God today. Listen, everything Pentecostal happened that day when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Everything happened. Listen, those spectators, they were not discouraged because people were speaking in tongues. Those spectators, they weren't discouraged because people was jumping up and down. They were intrigued. They were anxious. They wanted to know. They had inquiring minds. They was like, I feel something in this place. I don't know what it is, but I feel something different in this place. We don't need dumbed down services. We don't need suppressed worship. We need people to allow their worship freely unto God. That's what we need. There was cloven tongues like as of fire, the Bible says. And it sat upon each of them. And they were not discouraged by those people speaking in tongues. They were not discouraged by those people who were slain in the spirit. Those people that were walking around like drunkards. They were intrigued by them. They were intrigued by them. It did not scare away the spectators. It intrigued them. I propose to you tonight, people are tired of status quo. I propose to you tonight, people are tired of the mundane. I propose to you tonight, people are tired of the same old, same old. People are tired of discouragement and depression and public differences and political differences and family differences. People want to go into a place where people are coming together and joining in the spirit of unity. They want to come together with people in one mind and one accord, and they want a move of God in the house of God. Hallelujah. They want the fire to fall from heaven. That's what people want. Don't try to dumb down the services because you're worried about what somebody's going to think. This is an apostolic Pentecostal church. You're going to see craziness up in here. All right? You're going to see people do things you never thought they'd do. I watched Brother Chris last month get up here and preach, man. I tell you. My soul was so blessed. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know whether to run. He didn't know whether to jump. He didn't know. All he knew is he felt something all over him, and he didn't know what to do with it. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost demands a response. It will quicken your mortal body, and it'll cause you to be spontaneous in the Spirit of God. People want the fire to fall. That's what people want. They don't want mundane church. They don't want boring, dead church. They want somebody who's excited about what God is doing in their life. So are you going to be an exciting tour guide, or are you going to be a dead tour guide? Because people don't want to be led to the graveyard. Huh? Come on, people want to go sightseeing. People want to go see something amazing. People want to go see something spectacular. People want to go see a God that can do amazing things in their life. And that's what we can lead them to tonight. Come on. We need some informed tour guides to explain away people's doubt. Huh? We need some informed tour guides that's willing to lead people to see some amazing things in their life. Huh? Man, we had that little tour guy last year. Boy, he walked us right over to that Mayan clock, and he's just started telling us all these stories and all this stuff. He knew that Mayan clock in and out. And I'm standing there in amazement. He had my attention. I'm intrigued. I didn't know nothing about that Mayan clock, but he was explaining it all the way, and I'm just listening because he had my attention. You have the attention of the world today. You have the attention of your neighbors. You lost loved ones. You lost children. What kind of tour guide are you going to be to them? You're a tour guide for the kingdom of God. What kind of example are you to them today? Are you one that is exuberant? One that is spontaneous? One that is exciting? Or are you one that is boring and dreadful and negative? If that's the case, they're not interested in the kingdom of God. I hate to tell you, but they're not interested in the kingdom of God. We need to be a good tour guide. Stay with me all over this house as the musicians come quickly. I read a story by Brother Stan Gleason one time. He was telling a story. He said a young boy woke up in the middle of the night when he heard a loud clap of thunder. He runs in and he jumps out of his bed and he runs into his parents' bedroom and he jumps with a leap and landed right between his mom and dad. He was scared half out of his mind. His dad says, "Son, what is wrong with you?" The boy looks at his daddy and he says, "I heard a thunder and I got scared, so I had to come into your room." His dad said, "Well, son, you know Jesus is with you in your room also." Yeah, anybody ever pulled that trick on their little scared kids? "You know, Jesus is in there in your bedroom too." Sound like something Lucinda would do. Them kids come in her bedroom. You know, "You don't have to sleep in here. Jesus is in your bedroom too." So the dad tells the boy, he says, "Jesus is in your bedroom too." The boy looks at his dad and he says, "I know, Dad, but right now I need someone with skin on them." You are Jesus with skin on him in people's lives. You're the only epistle they're ever going to read. You're written epistles for all men to read. They need to see the Lord in you. They need to see something positive. They need to see a good change in you. They need you to be a good tour guide for the kingdom of God. Church, listen, disciple makers are Jesus with skin on. That's what we are. We are spiritual tour guides for the kingdom of God. Let's take our disciples on a guided tour of what is something so amazing that they can't help but be intrigued by it. Let's share this glorious gospel as a marvelous light. Not some dreadful experience that people aren't interested in. I'm talking about something amazing. Let's share the gospel with Jesus Christ, of Jesus Christ with people. And let's present it in a way that it is so desirous to be a part of. Come on, we cannot be a dreadful church. Dreadful churches don't win souls. Come on, but exuberant, lively stones, they win churches. They win people. They win souls. And that's what we want to be today. We want to be a spiritual tour guide for the hurting and for the lost. How many want to see people's lives impacted by the life that you live? Come on, how many want to see shackles fall off of people? How many want to see beer bottles laid down and joints passed over? How many want to see people pulled out of sin and brought into this marvelous light? You got to be a good example of Christ Jesus. You got to be a good tour guide. Take them on a display of the goodness of God right over here. This is what God did. He brought that boy right there. He was so deep in depression, he tried to take his life. But today he worships God with all of his heart. Right over here, this lady was almost dead with the coronavirus. But man, one day the church was making intercession for her and the Lord reached down and he touched her. And today she's still with us and she worships God with all of her heart. Come on, this young lady over here, she used to be a prostitute, but God got a hold of her. We need to show them the kingdom of God is something so amazing, they can't help but be desirous of it. What kind of tour guide are you today? What kind of child of God are you today? Are you one that presents this thing as a marvelous light? Are you one that presents this thing as the darkness? Because people don't want to come out of darkness into darkness. The blind lead the blind. They both fall in the ditch. But people want to come out of darkness. They want to come into this beautiful, miraculous light. And they want to behold the glory of God. They want to see a God that is changing people, restoring people, restoring lives. Restoring families and marriages. That's what people want to see. People want you to present the gospel to them as a marvelous light. God help us if we don't show forth the praises of the one that brought us out of darkness and into this marvelous light. We'll never win a soul. We'll never win a soul. And God is going to judge us based on our productivity. So you better be careful how you present the kingdom of God to people. Because when you present it to them in a negative light, you could cost them their salvation. You could cost them eternity in heaven. The next time somebody says, well, you know, I like to come to church over there, but I don't know about this. And you get all caught up in that and you say, well, you know, you better think about whether you're being a good tour guide or a bad tour guide. Because when you cost somebody their soul and you cost somebody their salvation, God's going to hold you accountable for that. But when you say, man, come on over here, I'll show you the miraculous. I'll show you what God's doing in their life. And I'll show you what God's doing in their life. And I'll show you what God's doing in their life. And you show them something amazing, they're going to be intrigued. They're going to be intrigued because they had a good spiritual tour guide. Are there any tour guides in this place that want a promotion? Are there any tour guides in this place that are tired of not seeing the results of their labor? I want you to get out of that seat right now. I want you to come to the front of this church and I want you to say, Lord, help me show forth the praises to you, the one that brought me out of darkness and into your marvelous light. May I present the kingdom of God is something so amazing that people cannot get away from it. Come on, church, this is the way we got to present the Lord to people. We got to present him as something so amazing that they got to have it. They got to have it. Come on, it's like showing off that brand new car, man. Boy, Jason, come over here and show me that new Escalade. It's like, man, boy, that's nice. Made me want one of those. That's the way we got to be with the kingdom. We got to present it as something good, something beautiful, something glorious, something desirous. We got to present the kingdom of God that way. We need to be good spiritual tour guides. Get out of that seat tonight. Come up to the front of this church and ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to help you present this gospel as something so glorious that people can't get enough of it. That's what kind of tour guide we want to be tonight. Let's lift our hands all over this place and let's just seek the Lord together as we sing this closing song tonight.